and more at kpft.org.
Think Wing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. I'm Mike Koenig. Bob Gartner is on controls. I'm sorry, I have to start the show with a sigh. That just seems to be the routine these days. Okay, so first thing, we're going to try to start slow and then work up to stuff. There was an article in the Houston Chronicle today where the streetlights are brightest in Houston. It says 2 years ago, the city began the process of switching out all 173,000 plus of its streetlights from the sodium bulbs, the yellow glow lights, to LEDs, which are whiter and often brighter, and of course more energy efficient. Today, Houston is roughly halfway through the process, and a cadre of some critics have voiced opposition to the switch, mainly due to dissatisfaction with the brightness of the new bulbs. I'll touch on that in a moment. And a Kinder Institute's newest study research analyzes the location of Houston's streetlights to determine which areas have the highest concentration and which have the lowest. For some, streetlights is considered an amenity. Some people consider it a nuisance. According to the study, which all of my stuff, thinkwingradio.com, you can go to today's show announcement. It is online, and you can go to the links for all of this stuff. So the study version is linkable. It says, in Houston, each consensus block group has an average of 15 streetlights per mile of roadway, but there's huge variation. Some areas have as little as one streetlight per mile or less. Others have as many as 47. So, I mean, this is kind of interesting. This has to do with things like income area. You know, some areas get more lighting because they're considered perhaps crime prone. Finally got that out. Other areas get maybe a little more moderate amount of lighting because extra lighting at night can be a little annoying. It's just stressful. And if you have the money, I guess, you know, neighborhoods can kind of choose how much lighting they get, or the developers for certain categories of neighborhoods may plan certain lighting. You know, talking about the color of the light, on my iPhone, there is a nighttime setting where the backlighting goes from more blue, which visually, neurologically, is actually a more stimulating color. And for nighttime, you can set it, or whatever your nighttime is, which mine is weird. For nighttime, you can actually set it to what they call a warmer setting, a more yellowish, reddish setting, which the eye considers less stimulating to your brain. So now, talking about streetlights, the sodium lights, while they cast kind of an odd color, give good illumination and are maybe less mentally stimulating, which I guess if you're driving is a bad thing. Whereas the white LEDs, they're probably more blue, which again may be a good thing to keep you alert while you're driving, but as neighborhood illumination, it can be a little off-putting. So this is actually not, you know, just a pointless question. And of course, then there's the issue of light pollution. If you want to be able to see something of the night sky and not be in a city where you can only see, like, the three brightest stars. That's a thing.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
On that light pollution, it's my understanding, and our engineer Bobby Modad mentioned this to me, that that lighting's purposely pointed downward now. There's a shield above it, and so there's something apparently afoot to incorporate considerations for the night sky. And being from South Dakota, I was up there once, and I can tell you there's a whole lot we don't see in the city.
You know, if you're in the middle of the drive between Houston and any of the adjacent cities, about midway at night, if you stop, if the sky is clear, it's mind-blowing. It truly is. And yes, I have heard about the new lighting in many cities, because light pollution has become a thing. In many cities, they do now have rules about how to orient light, the kinds of shields to have on light, even the hours you have to turn off lights. So that has been a thing. I guess I should give a phone number. I see we've already got a call without a name, and I might as well give a phone number, but I do want to get through, like, several things. Open forum. Phone number is 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. Good news, everybody. Houston falls in its congestion ranking in traffic. Apparently, we have gone from wasting 25% of our time unnecessarily in traffic to 24% of our time unnecessarily in traffic. So yay for us. Houston was 117th worldwide. Only Los Angeles and San Francisco cracked the top 30 in terms of horrible driving congestion. Getting a little more serious, the Russian ambassador to the UN died at 64. Vitaly Churkin, I believe, is how his name is pronounced. He had been ambassador to the UN for 10 years and had a long career in various ambassadorial and international negotiating duties. And I guess in the context of the times, you know, when you have an important Russian die at 64 after a sudden illness, you know, it gets suspicious these days. I wonder if he said anything to tick off Putin. If there is an autopsy, I'm sure they'll look for something.
Is that a part of that story I saw last week where everybody's dying from alcohol poisoning or something?
I don't think I heard that one, but there is a Russian, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically a Russian activist who has now been poisoned in Russia twice in his food. And of course, we've got the incident of the one Russian defector being poisoned with plutonium in his tea. And there's been another case of a guy being stabbed. I use the term advisedly, poked is probably closer, with an umbrella tip that actually injected a little ball, microscopic in size, with poison. That was many years ago. So when I hear about a 64-year-old Russian, important Russian, suddenly taking ill unexpectedly and dying, this, I will say this, if that starts happening around the United States, be suspicious. Let's see. There was at least one.
Wasn't it James Foster that died sort of mysteriously in the Clinton administration?
No. He was an obvious suicide. Anything else is just conspiracy talk. It's been debunked over and over and over. He went to a park. He shot himself. And that's never been analyzed any other way. Let's see. The last thing, here's something we have to talk about. Thousands of demonstrators across the U.S. are putting on Not My President's Day demonstrations. The turnouts have been anywhere from dozens to thousands. It depends in part on the size of the city. There have been protests in New York City around Central Park, downtown L.A., Chicago at the Trump Tower, Salt Lake City around the federal buildings. Portland, Oregon, where apparently it got a little nasty with some police confrontations. And, of course, the observation not unique to me that the Trump regime seems unnervingly high in terms of generals and billionaires. We should be concerned. Okay, let's start taking phone calls. Phone number is 713-526-5738. We do have open lines. Let me do a quick station ID so I don't have to cut anybody off. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner is on controls. You can go to my website, thinkwingradio.com. You can follow me at Think Wing Radio on Twitter. And I'm also on Facebook, Think Wing Radio on Facebook. Jerry.
Yeah.
How you doing today?
I've got a couple little bullet points to add to your little list there.
Okay.
And everything. There's an article on the ProPublica or ProPublica website about Amazon's pricing algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
And you might find that rather interesting. They said a couple of things that I've kind of noticed about Amazon before. As much as I like Amazon, they do some things that are kind of wrong. But
okay,
anyway.
Is there anything you want to bullet point specifically?
Oh, they tend to not give you the top, you know, quite often they won't give you the top, the best price right up front and everything. You know, they don't necessarily give you the best price or what, you know, if somebody online is, and I actually went through this one time, they try to hide some of the best deals on Amazon. Now,
well,
somebody will be offering something at half the price anybody else is, and they'll sit there and try to keep you from buying it.
Well, what I have noticed is there will be times when you'll see a price, and then you'll go into other vendors, and the other vendors may have a lower price, but when you add in the fact that they don't have free shipping, it's the same or
yeah.
more. So, I mean,
yeah,
and I'll also say something else. Along those lines, when you are searching, like, for airfares, apparently there's something in the algorithm that if you're searching too often, especially if you're logged in, you'll start getting higher fares. So, yeah, all of this stuff is scary and offensive and highly manipulative and, yes, Skynet. Anyway, go ahead.
I've gotten into it before once or twice with Amazon, not so much on the phone, although I do call into them sometimes when I have an issue, but online I've left little notes going, you know, something would be one price one minute, and then it would go up like $20 in another minute. When I went back to it, I'm just like going, that's funny.
Well,
I'd leave them a little note going, you guys are cute.
Yeah, not funny, ha-ha funny.
Yeah, ho-ho, yeah. And then there's a spike of radioactive iodine, supposedly in Western Europe. They're looking for it right now over in England, but it seems like it's spiked up throughout Western Europe. And
really?
They think that there may have been a Russian. One of the reasons why that could be is because of they think that there could have been a Russian and they didn't catch it maybe. Or
like a nuclear
like that,
test?
That there was a nuclear test, yeah.
Boy, those kinds of things are tough to miss. They have seismographs all over the place.
It's hard to miss them, yeah.
Now, it could have been a leak from something.
Yeah, that's another possibility.
What does radioactive iodine get generated by? I mean, I know that it is the result of atomic blasts, but other things must generate radioactive iodine. Can a reactor generate that? Could there have been a reactor leak? Or would that... would that emit a different kind of radioactive
I don't
particle?
Know. I don't know enough about that to really speak to that. In fact, that whole thing made me, I take thyroid pills and I'm kind of like wondering, I need to go talk to my doctor, in fact, because now one of the big things online is, it's gotten more popular, I notice, is those Iostat, the stuff to keep you from getting infected by the, or keep the radioactive iodine from getting into your, you know, keep it out of your system.
Yeah, there's some kind of an anti-radioactive tablet you can take that binds to certain particles so that your body can excrete them as opposed to absorbing them.
Yeah. And, I told you we'd talk about labor in the... Fourth Revolution.
Yeah, hold on one second. I think Bob found something he wants to mention.
Well, it's got a half-life of 8 days, and it was, I guess y'all are talking about this article that came up a day ago, measured over in Europe and Norway.
Yeah.
I haven't read far enough to see whether it comes out of a nuclear energy flue or any other place.
Well, you know, one thing to consider is the concrete encasement around Chernobyl. It is aging, and it's not impossible, given prevailing winds and such, it's not impossible that there's some leakage from there if it's coming over Scandinavia and Britain.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it's all speculation at this point, because I had not even seen the article. Okay, what was the next thing you were going to mention?
Well, in fact, that's actually how they found out about Chernobyl. But anyway,
right.
That was the first big clue that they had something went wrong. Yeah, we were going to talk. I said something to me last week about labor and the fourth revolution, the fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah, that came up several weeks ago, and it's always a topic I want to get back to.
Yeah. Yeah, there was an article in the paper today by a guy talking about how, you know, basically his argument was, not in so many words, but that basically more money needs to be spent on education and training people, and that we don't really want the old jobs that left 30 years ago. We want the newer, more high-tech jobs that are more value-added that will pay better.
Well, I'm one of those people that I'm going to use this term very, very advisedly because I don't want to mean it literally. It is sort of elitist to think that just with the right education, everybody can do more high-tech jobs. I just don't believe that's true. I think that some people's minds and neurological wiring and aptitudes, not everybody is designed for a high-tech job. I think what we do need, I would like to see much more liberal arts education, not only because I think we need much more knowledge about civics and the world around us and political systems, but also because I think that a liberal arts education makes a person's mind more flexible. They can absorb more diverse information, which in a society where by the time you're 40, what you trained for may no longer exist, I think becomes a really, really important capability. So it's not so much train them for high-tech jobs. I think it's a matter of educating them in a way that they're able to relearn when necessary because they have a diversity of knowledge that they can connect to.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you on that. No, he was just making the point, though, that it's going to cost a whole heck of a lot of money, though, to train up, you know, people up for the supposed jobs of the future and all that. And for me, this all goes into other areas and everything. It's connected up to several other areas, like, you know, artificial intelligence and stuff like that, issues about that and all that. But what I think is going to happen is, you know, basically Republicans are going to talk about that, and but we really have neglected education over an extended period. You know, we have not spent, you know, they sit there and say we spend all this money on education. Well, you know, it depends on how you judge that.
Here's the thing that I say all the time, and I think people really need to start hearing it and taking it to heart. You get the government you pay for. You cannot continue doing more with less. You cannot cut taxes and expect better roads and better schools and better building maintenance and more policing and better fire protection. You have to pay the taxes to get the services. You can't just say, I hate taxes, and it has to be progressive. I'll even go so far as to say that I think property taxes maybe should be more progressive. Because user fees, property taxes, sales taxes, fuel taxes, all of those are flat taxes. They hurt people with lower incomes more than they hurt people with higher incomes. And this has been a long-term Republican plan. If they can't get flat income taxes, then they want to have just flat other fees and taxes that basically accomplish the same objective.
Well, you see that, you know, basically the state of Texas did that with regard to the schools and the property taxes and stuff like that. You know, they basically sat there and said it can't be above a certain level for both state and local taxes or whatever, but on property. But
they did that in California, and it just destroyed the state's tax base. They've been recovering from that ever since.
Yeah. And, Proposition, what was it, Proposition, it was a Proposition 13, Proposition 8 or something like that.
Although to be
Howard Jarvis.
Howard Jarvis. Although, to be fair, property, assessed property values got so high that it was pricing people out of homes in some cases. I don't think that was Howard Jarvis's concern. I think his concern was rich people were paying too much. But the reality was the reality. I'm going to have to let you go, Jerry. We've got a couple of other people on the line. And
okay, that's fine. Yeah, I'll let you go. I'll talk to you here later.
Yeah, I appreciate your calling as always. Take care.
Thanks. All right, bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. You can always support KPFT by going to kpft.org. Oh, we've lost some people. Going to KPFT,
No, we're good. One hung up, perhaps because I didn't answer quickly, but the other one was a new listener, and they were impressed by the program, and I just told him a little bit about KPFT.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you very much. Was that Mike? I saw a name Mike on there.
Yeah, there was a Mike who we lost, and it could be him calling back now. Do you want to put Lee on?
Yeah, let's put Lee on. Lee, thank you for waiting. You're on the air. How you doing?
Good evening. Pleasure to be able to speak on the air.
My pleasure to have you.
I had two things to talk about. You started off with two issues. One of them was lighting, and I know about that being an electrician. There's something called the Dark Skies Initiative, and
yes.
I think it's a Texas issue. It may be national, that there's not supposed to be any more up lighting. Like you've got a flag, you light up, send a light up to light the flag up. And sadly, I forgot what the other one was. So these new lights that they're putting out, they're not doing anything special. They're just complying with existing legislation.
Yeah, I've heard about the Dark Sky Initiative. I think it started out west where the big telescopes were.
Well, it actually, from my understanding, it did start in Texas because there's a internationally well-known scope in Texas that wasn't able to see stuff because there was so much light in the surrounding communities.
We're not talking about the Brown Observatory, are we?
Don't start me to lie. My mind is not that good. I know that it happened, but I don't know where. What was the second major issue you talked about at the start?
Traffic congestion. For local. I started local, and then I worked my way up. Yeah, let's see. We started with traffic congestion. Then I went to the Russian ambassador. Be funny if he was assassinated.
That was third or fourth.
Then I went to, let's see, President's Day protests. That's as far as I got.
Going right now,
I'm sorry?
The way that the protest legislation is going right now, anticipate that anybody goes to a protest is going to be busted for non-payment of fees to pay for the police. And it's going to go down like Germany did. Because in spite of the fact that when Hitler was first elected, there was a million people in the streets, and they didn't last long, did they?
Well, you know, Graham and McCain, they're sort of like presenting themselves as like rogues and fighting for democracy against Trump. But, you know, it's always don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. And the fact is, they're still caucusing with the Republicans. They're still voting for Republican cabinet appointees. They haven't proposed anything that would look really counter-Trump. So, you know, so far they're all talk, no action.
That's fact. But again, don't so much pay attention to what they're saying, but look at what they've done in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Like our new education person.
Yeah, I mean...
Let me hush. Have a good night.
Well, thank you.
You don't get out of line in my point of view. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye.
All righty. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. We have open lines, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Let's see. Other stuff. Oh, well, here's something actually I got a couple of things. Apparently, Sweden really doesn't like Donald Trump. They've done a survey, and the survey was, how much confidence do you have at this time, the U.S. presidential candidate, this was from spring of 2016, U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump to do the right thing regarding world affairs? No confidence. Canada, 80% of Canadians have no confidence in Donald Trump. Sweden is 92%. And they theorize that's because he's always using Sweden as bad examples. 89% of Germans, 88% of Dutch, 85% of French, 85% of UK, 84% of Spain, 75% of Greeks, 69% of Italians. So far, those are all the numbers that don't have any confidence in Trump doing the right thing. He actually does best in India, where it's almost like an even split, where 18% have some confidence. I'm sorry, 14% have some confidence in him doing the right thing. 18% don't, which means that about 68% of Indians had no opinion. In China, interestingly, 40% of Chinese have no confidence in him doing the right thing. I think this was before the situation with Taiwan, where that number probably jumped. Australia. Well, I mean, we have been screwing the Australians with Trump. 87% of Australians had no confidence in the spring of 2016 that Trump would do the right thing. Apparently, he's done nothing to dissuade them in the interim. Absence of confidence in Trump, not just an American thing. Let's see. Open lines, by the way, 713-526-5738. One of the things that I really kind of wanted to talk about is the Trump regime seems to have a disturbing propensity toward appointing billionaires and generals. I don't think, and I may be mistaken, but I don't think I have ever seen so many military, ex-military people at high positions of power. Even the Defense Department usually has a civilian. Often the CIA has a civilian. The National Security Council is normally led by a civilian. We started off making an exception for how long someone has to be retired. There was supposed to be like a one-time exception for General Marshall under the Eisenhower administration. Now we did one for Mattis. And of course, we've never had so many billionaires and multimillionaires, multimillionaires, 100 millionaires, I guess we could call them. This is very disturbing. It's a very, very disturbing trend. And of course, Congress, milksop Congress, has not raised any issues about this. It's like, oh, well, as long as we have a Republican president, a Republican Senate, a Republican House, well, thank goodness for that. We have a hand that can operate a pen. So we're happy. The Republicans are happy. Bunch of hypocrites. 713-526-5738. We do have Wayne on the phone. So, Wayne, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hey, Mike, what's going on? How you doing, man?
I'm as good as can be expected under the political circumstances. How are you?
I'm feeling about the same as you right now.
You and 60 million other Americans.
Yeah, but I was glad you brought up this general thing. The generals, it seems to me that those that really have... To me, those that really have some, I would say perspective about themselves and American patriotism have turned down Trump. And now I hear this H.R.
McMaster. I've got the name in front of me. Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster, who is a former tank commander.
That sounds like, you know, it don't sound like at this point we can add too much to his credibility at this point.
Well,
but I'm going to give him, because I'm an Army man myself, I'm going to give him benefit of a doubt.
You know, I hate to just lump it together and say we have an unnerving number of military people in high jobs. You know, the U.S. military is probably one of the most apolitical militaries in the world. It is very strongly inculcated into military culture that you can have your political views, but at the end of the day, the civilians run the ship. And I don't want to say having military people in high positions is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a bad thing when you have too many, because what you're doing essentially is you're no longer getting a diversity of views. You're getting people that come from that particular culture. And I think when you start making exceptions for how long somebody can be retired, this lieutenant general, I think he was active duty. I don't think he was retired.
Well, he said that the McMaster's guy was retired.
Is he retired?
Well, they said he was, from what I've seen today on the was it Meet the Press or one of them, when they announced him, they said that he was retired. Now, I seen him there in uniform now, but they said he was retired.
I
misunderstood it, and I might go back and look at it tonight, but my understanding there was that he was retired.
Well, they had a retired, apparently now you've got McMaster, who may or may not have been retired. I'm going to have to look at that, but I did not see the term, even in this the pieces that I pasted, I didn't see the term retired. It's Army Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster. Now, what they did say, the Assistant National Security Chief is going to be retired Army Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg. So
yeah,
now
okay,
you, so the two top people
Keith
now
Kellogg
in the
Kellogg guy is retired.
Yes. So now you've got the two top people in the NSC military
okay.
generals. I mean, this is, I'm not going to say it's unprecedented because I don't know enough history.
Mm-hmm.
But in my lifetime, it seems really, really unusual to have so many military people in advisory and cabinet positions, and then the rest are basically white billionaires.
Yeah, I mean, and who's running the military? If they all in there serving Donald Trump, who's running the military?
Well,
that's a good question. Let's raise that question to the American people.
And, of course, Trump knows so much more than the generals. I don't know why he's so dependent on hiring them.
But when the war kicks off, when the war kicks off, and I told you this a couple of weeks ago, we'll see how much patriotism the Republicans have. We will find that out. But the other thing that I called about that you touched on was about the tax system here in Texas and the fact that Ted Cruz hasn't been here in Texas, I don't think, since the before the primary. I heard today somebody said they're going to have a protest at Ted Cruz's office. Ted Cruz don't work for the American people. He worked for Goldman Sachs, and that's the only person Ted Cruz works for.
Well, all the Republicans, you know, I hate to cite Anthony Weiner too much, although I think that he was a terrific voice when he was in Congress, and it's just a pity what happened to him.
Well, now, don't be too upset at a man that holds his wiener at his heart. Let's leave that alone. But
well, no, hold on, hold on. I want to cite Wayne, I want to cite something he said. Wayne, I want to cite something he said.
You're trying to stop me. Okay.
Yes, I am.
During the
health care discussion, he made a point, and I think that it's more widely applicable, that the Republican Party is a wholly owned subsidiary of the pharmaceutical industry.
Yes.
And he was censured for that in the House. But I think that that actually is a much more widely applicable statement. I think that the Republican Party is a wholly owned subsidiary of the wealth class and capitalist class, and I hate to sound like a socialist for crying out loud, but essentially is a wholly owned subsidiary of that class of the American population, essentially those one percenters, whether it's 1% of industry, 1% of billionaires, 1% of corporations. That's who the Republican Party works for. And when you see the kinds of rules, executive orders and whatnot that are being thrown out, it's all about clean water. It's all about work protection. You know, some of it you can argue vaguely is pro-business. Some of it just seems flat out spiteful.
And let's go back to Michigan, Detroit, for example. They poisoned the people up there in Detroit.
Yep.
And the people in Detroit couldn't figure out who to vote for.
Well,
kind of makes you wonder.
Are you talking about Detroit? Now, Flint, we know about the water. What Detroit, I don't think, has a water problem. What it has is an emergency manager problem.
Let's put it, Flint is in Michigan. Detroit may not have had a water problem, but Flint is in Michigan,
yes.
Both of them, Detroit and Flint.
Michigan is probably the least Democratic state in the union right now, least Democratic in the small D sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dictatorship, essentially.
Yeah, but that's because of the what happened back in, was it 2012 or whereabouts, that that dictatorship stuff come about, where they could take the people's vote away from them and implement the
emergency manager law.
Yeah, the emergency manager law. So that's how that happened. But because people don't understand when you give away your rights, when you and you let dictatorship come in, you say it's okay for you to govern me.
The
same thing back in slavery at that time.
I have a sticker on my car that says, if the 99% voted, the 1% wouldn't matter. And that is what it comes down to. They can only do so much voter suppression, so much voter rigging. If people actually turned out, if we actually got 80% voter turnouts, things would be different. But we're getting, 15 and 35 and at the max 55% voter turnouts.
And that's because people don't understand and refuse to see what's happening with their democracy. When you don't stand up for your democracy, you will lose it. It's been told to many, many people. And they seem to say it's okay for them to give up their rights. But me, I will never forsake my rights. I will always vote. And I will always vote to protect my pocketbook. But you brought up a good point about the Ted Cruz and flat taxes here in Texas. Every chance that Texas gets to implement a new tax or a self-imposing tax on the people, they do it. When people here in Texas realize that because you're being imposed on so many taxes, franchise taxes, fees, parking lots and everything, and any other tax that Texas can come up with, just not call it a tax and put it to you for you to pay for.
Yeah, it's a highway toll.
It's a
fee.
Why are we still paying the highway toll?
I agree with you. I am totally against toll roads. I believe if a road can serve the community, then the state, the government should finance it, and you shouldn't have to pay to use it, because that separates the road by classes.
And the only thing that the rural people did back in, was it 2010, 2012? The only thing that they did when the tough grandma was running, what her name was, Strahan, Strawn or something like that, there, when she got on Rick Perry about him trying to sell out Texas to foreign entities, not foreign entities, they wasn't foreign, they was here in the States of America, and have them take over toll roads. And
yes,
that's the only thing I'll compliment a Republican on, and that's the only thing that I will compliment any people in rural areas about. But that wasn't about them getting up to save Texas; it was getting up for them to save their land.
I think it wasn't so much that the Republicans or the state of Texas stopped it. It's just it just couldn't go forward. It just didn't look like it was going to be profitable.
No, it was going to be profitable, Rick Perry and those in Texas government. The
but
ones
not,
that's there now, what's his name, that just got elected to
Abbott.
The state, what is it, what the job Hillary Clinton had? Secretary of State?
Tillerson.
Yeah, Tillerson. It was going to be profitable to those people because they were all barren.
Mm.
If you don't watch out, if people in Texas don't watch out, you'll have all wells popping up all over the place here in Texas, man, because everybody now is trying to drill a slant in people's lands and stuff like that. And that's the only reason.
You know what? Even the richest people in Houston, in River Oaks or Memorial or whatever, they don't own the mineral rights. It would be interesting to see how they feel about that kind of pollution if they started drilling literally in their backyards. I'm going to have to let you go, Wayne.
The people of Texas don't understand that. The rich people may understand it. You understand what I'm saying to you, Mike?
Well, that's what we're talking about.
The rich people may understand. But those that's the 99%, they don't understand that. They don't understand that. I heard them talking about, maybe it wasn't 2 years ago, talking about somewhere over there around Montrose or something. It may have been less than that. talking about drilling, putting a well there somewhere to drill for oil. We're talking about Montrose in the heart of the city.
That was in Memorial Park.
In Memorial Park.
Yeah, Memorial Park. We're talking about in the heart of the city, man. Come on. And if people don't wise up to these things, but those things out there, I put them out there. But let's get back to.
Hold on. Let's go. Okay.
But let's just get back to Ted Cruz. And I agree with the people that want to have Ted Cruz come to a town hall meeting. But Ted Cruz haven't been here for a year better here. I done called Ted Cruz office several times, and all I get is a phone with a stuffed mailbox and nothing else.
Really?
That's the same thing goes for John Cornyn. Same thing. These are all the two state senators, and people run out and vote blindly for them.
Yeah,
don't represent Texas.
No, they really
They
don't.
Represent the wealthy up in Washington, D.C. They're not fighting for anybody here in Texas, and people in Texas need to realize that.
Okay,
I'm
Wayne,
you
on
know,
that,
I don't
yeah.
want to take up all these
Thank
time.
You
yeah,
so much. No, it's a great phone call, but yes, you're right. I need to let you go. Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate it. You know, just to touch on something that Wayne said about people don't know, people don't understand, I would like to think that in my small way, I am helping to change that. I try to bring up some of the more obscure things because they're more obscure, but that doesn't make them unimportant or irrelevant. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner's on controls. ThinkWingRadio.com is my website, at ThinkWing Radio. You can follow me on Twitter. Please follow me on Twitter. I'd love to get my numbers up a little bit. And you can also go to Facebook. I have a Facebook page, ThinkWing Radio with Mike Koenig. And we have three callers, and we have some open lines, 713-526-5738. Greg, you're up next. You're on the air. How you doing?
How you doing, Mike? Listen to the show as always. Let me help you a little bit with your history.
Okay.
Your Secretary of State, that was Marshall, but you had the wrong president. He was Secretary of State under Harry Truman.
Okay.
And he was also Secretary of Defense under Harry Truman. In fact, you might know him pretty much as the World War II general. That's what most people know him for, but if you read a little bit of your history, he is also the one who devised the Marshall Plan.
Yeah, that's actually what I think he's best known for, except
that's
for the movie Patton.
That's known for most Americans, for basically rebuilding Europe after the Second World War. And let me see. Oh, and the other thing, I don't know if you read this week's Time magazine about where it says, with Donald Trump on the cover, where it says, nothing to see here.
I may have seen the cover. I don't think I've read the article.
Yeah, I've read it. The thing I think that is amazing to me about the people who will support this man is this. These are the same people who have an expectation that their lives are going to turn around, that things are going to be great. From a guy who, when we tried to tell them last year and 2 years ago about his business acumen, about some of the ways he's run his companies, about how he's handled stuff, they've almost wanted him to, don't tell us anything about that. He's going to fix it because he's a businessman and he's a billionaire. This is the same guy who in the first month, almost a month and a half, has done more to show you how to screw up government.
It's been the longest freaking month I can remember, and generally at my age, time passes much more quickly. You know, I was once in a house when I was a window covering installer, man. That I spent 20 years doing that. I've been in like 8,000 homes, and I want to tell you, that is a mind-expanding experience. I was in one house once where the woman was playing Christian radio, and I have to say it was driving me nuts, but I couldn't do much about it. But I remember one particular song, and I have tried to look it up. I cannot find it, but I remember a particular lyric, "Don't be taken in by the in crowd." It was basically, hang on to your faith, don't be dissuaded, don't let people tell you about evolution or make you question the existence of God or the foundations of your faith. And the key phrase that I seem to recall, don't be taken in by the in crowd. So to your point, you've got these people that they believe in Donald Trump or hate Hillary Clinton literally as a matter of faith. And you're going to have at least 20 or 25% of any given population that'll believe anything.
Yep.
You know, I have,
and it's something to me. I mean, here's a guy. Now you remember he brought up Sweden Saturday at this rally.
Yes.
Remember
yes, those events in Sweden.
2 weeks ago, maybe they'd been in power a little more than a week and a half, and Kellyanne Conway comes on the show and talks about an attack.
The Bowling Green incident.
The Bowling Green, yeah, massacre that never happened.
They make stuff up.
That's what gets me. And people will just take it, some people anyway, and they'll run with it, and they don't bother to... Really?
I have taken to calling her Kellyanne Goebbels Conway. She should be in charge of the Ministry of Truth. I mean, we are in another universe. We literally, I mean, I mentioned last week or the week before that Reuters sent down a directive to their reporters, their journalists, that essentially said, cover the Trump administration the way you would an authoritarian regime, which is to say, you're going to have to do your legwork, you're going to have to dig out your sources because you can't trust anything they say. That's horrible that this country has come to that.
It is, and it's shameful, and it's up to all of us as a citizenry, even the people that we disagree with. We got to be better. We got to be more vigilant. This shouldn't be happening in 2017.
Well,
the
biggest thing that we have to guard against is protest fatigue, outrage fatigue. You know, I do my small part here on the radio, and I realize that being here isn't as hard as going out on the street and being there. But those people that can, those people that are motivated, they need to keep going. It matters.
It does. It's going to have to be done in a way that people have to not give up, because if the Tea Party can mobilize and flip Congress and flip the Senate and get a Republican elected president, we progressives and we Democrats ought to be able to do it.
You know, it's like a war. You're not going to win in 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks. It's going to be a long, hard slog, and those that can must. I'm going to have to let you go, Greg. Oh, Bob, you want to?
Yeah, you know, we had an event the other night on Saturday here at the station for some people concerned about what's going on at Standing Rock, and it was a benefit fundraiser. So, you know, even with protest, your money can speak for you.
Money, yeah. I mean, we do what we can the way we can, you know, whether it's donating or being a voice on the radio and trying to spread information. Or physically going out there and being feet on the ground. You know, we all have to do what we can do. All right, Greg, I appreciate it very much. You take care.
I sure will. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. One thing I do want to mention. Tomorrow may be or may not be a significant day, because on the Supreme Court docket there is this writ of mandamus where they're actually asking for a new election. And I can't speak for the judges. Possibly events reported of the last week or two might factor into whether they actually want to hear oral arguments on this. But tomorrow, it is on the docket, so they will make a decision whether or not it's going to be heard. So tomorrow will either be a huge disappointment or an amazing day, but it's there. Okay, MOD, you're on. How are you doing tonight?
Hello.
Hiya.
They're worried about the president, though, with the Secret Service. Jeff, you know, they sort of supposed to blanket the president when he's out in public and protect him.
They're spending, I think that they've spent so far, the Secret Service, because of the way he travels and goes places, they've spent as much in a month as they spent on the Obamas in a year.
Yeah, they're worried, though, that the... You know, the normal procedures are to hit the deck or president down. You know, they have to yell it out.
Yeah.
But they're worried that it's not working with Trump. So the one they've been testing, they found one thing that works. They scream out Donald Duck. and
quack quack.
Right.
Now, did you make that up or did you hear that?
No, security guard told me.
Well, okay. It's got to be a joke, though, although you never know, this guy.
Well, okay. There's another one. You know, Mathis?
Yes.
Is it Mad Dog?
Mad Dog Mattis.
Mattis. Well, you know, we don't know if Trump's going to make 100 days or not. You know, maybe the 25th Amendment or stuff like that.
Yeah, it's got to be something, man. Got to be something.
Well, if he does make it, I think the Mattis will be running. And, you know, the campaign will be right.
Well, I mean, technically, he's already filed as a candidate for 2020, which means
what's
that...
Yeah, the name of his campaign is going to be?
Go ahead.
Mad Dog 2020.
Bob is laughing, and I don't get it, so obviously I'm out of the loop.
Mogan David.
Oh.
He's the strong stuff if you only got a nickel.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Thunderbird, what's the price? What's the reason? Any season?
Okay. I apologize. I'm going to let you go. We've got at least two more callers, and I've got 8 minutes.
Okay. Well, can I get one thing
yes,
in real quick?
Yes, one more quick thing.
Okay. Well, where was Michael Moore during, you know, the debacle with the Kevin Orr emergency management appointment from Schrader, the former CEO of Gateway Computer in Pontiac or Flint or Benton Harbor, which Whirlpool came in? Took over.
Oh, I have no. I mean, he is a local personality as well as a national personality. It's
right,
possible
so,
he's been very involved locally.
Yeah, Flint and Pontiac and Benton. So when the federal judge said 2 years ago, I don't want to hear you're filing for, you know, bankruptcy because you're insolvent, you have to give me some blood. And that was 30% of the private and government pensions. So there's your pilot for bail-ins. So, and there's about 130 of the train emergency managers ready to go. So let's see what happens. Interesting times.
Yeah, in the Chinese sense of the term. All right, you take care, MOD. Thanks for calling. Okay, Gary is up next. Gary, you've got about 3 minutes, and then I have to get to Dr. Che.
Well, I had 17 points, but I'm going to... first off, it's McDonald Observatory you're thinking about.
Okay, that's out like Fort Davis or something?
Yes, it's out west there. And I just wanted to say that, you know, I am very, I have very negative opinions about Republicans. I call them the Retalibans and the, the anachronistic party.
I keep trying to look for something that works with GOP, and it's just really, really hard.
I can come up with something, but I just want to say that, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. All right, now, Ted Cruz, all right, he's known, he's famous because he has a constituency of one, right?
Which one is that?
Ted Cruz.
Oh, okay.
That's only...
Oh, I got you. Okay.
He won't have any town hall meetings. He won't answer his email. He won't answer his phone. And there's letters to the Chronicle about this man not even having the courtesy to respond to his constituents that he represents. And you'd say, well, most of them represent Republicans, but he doesn't represent anybody except Ted Cruz. But I want to give credit where credit's due. When someone has the courage and the nerve to stand up against the tide, and that's John McCain.
But he hasn't done anything with all his talk.
He has spoken out, all right. And
I mean, that is a start, but he hasn't...
He stood up for the press, and he stood up for NATO, and he stood up for Iraq.
But his actions...
he stood up against this maniac, and he is a Republican.
His words are important, but his actions matter, too. And the fact is, he has voted with his caucus.
Haven't had a vote on
he's
been a, 25th Amendment yet.
He's been approving cabinet people. He has voted with his caucus. So he's talking against Trump, but he's not doing against Trump. So, you know, my feelings are very mixed. The voice is important. The actions matter, too.
Well, he said, and I'm going to let you go, he said that shutting down the press, which has been Trump's whole thing because he's an egomaniacal
he's a wannabe dictator.
Which is
why no big businessman should ever really run for office, because they're not Democrats by nature. Small business people, okay.
All right. Well, he is John McCain came out and said, headline news, This is how dictators get started.
Yep, that's true.
Okay, and that takes courage.
It does.
He's going against his own party and a lot of his constituents, probably.
Now I'm waiting for his actions to match his words. I'm going to have to let you go, Gary. I got Dr.
J. The word I was looking for was sociopath.
Oh, yeah, that too. I'm with you. Okay, take care, Gary. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, bye.
All right, bye-bye. Dr. Che, you're last. You've got about 2.5 minutes, and I apologize if you've waited so long that that doesn't seem like enough, but go ahead.
That's all right. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Hi. Bob.
Hey, it has been a while. Talking of Mad Dog Mattis, looks like that guy was a little bit too Mad Dog for Trump to trot. And of street lights or night lights, you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
Even the more that I like the dark night, so I can see the stars. I look
yep.
up every night.
Yep.
And I also love nighttime. I have a poem about that called "I Love Night, Half Moon, Lit Night." Anyway. But in this case, I think I prefer living in a big city with crimes every place. I prefer to sacrifice that and have more lights over my head wherever I'm going.
Well, I don't disagree with you on that, truly. And you know, when I'm driving, I'm finding increasingly I don't have enough illumination on the road. So I think it's not a matter of should we have street lights. It's a matter of how many, what kind, and where.
Yeah, especially I have been robbed 4 times in 35 years in Houston.
Wow.
Under the gunpoint, actually 3 times, I can say, under gunpoint. One was a white woman, the other two were blacks, and 2 of them were violent.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent 2 of them to prison for 30 and 31 years.
Great. I'm sorry to hear about your experience. Yeah. Traumatic, but, you know, great.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Che.
Thanks
if you can talk, help. Call earlier. We'll talk more.
Sure.
Thank Bye-bye. You so much. All right. Juan Flores is going to be coming up with Jazz Latino, and forgive my accent. Quote of the day. This is from Captain G.M. Gilbert, the Army psychologist assigned to watching the defendants at the Nuremberg trials. It's a famous quote, rarely heard in its entirety. In my work with the defendants at the Nuremberg trials, I was searching for the nature of evil, and now I think I have come close to defining it. A lack of empathy. It's the one characteristic that connects all the defendants, a genuine incapacity to feel with their fellow men. Evil, I think, is the absence of empathy. Words to live by, words to think about in today's modern politics and society. Everybody have a great week. I guess I'm actually running 30 seconds early. 30 seconds. Yes, yeah, stretch it. Juan is going with the stretch motion. Bob, you want to say something for 15 seconds? No. Okay.
Those yellow lights need to go. I think they do affect night vision.
They do. I think a little warmth in the night lights is good. I think too yellow is bad. I think too white or blue is also not great at night. You know, I'm going to give you one more quote. Do we send people to prison as punishment, or do we send people to prison for punishment? David Fowler. Not apropos of anything we've discussed, but I thought I'd throw it in. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next Monday. Bye-bye.
Each year, benefiting local AIDS service organizations striving to make an impact in the fight against AIDS while providing vital resources like pediatric programs, housing, food, medical care, education, counseling, and job training. AIDS Walk Houston 2017 will be held Sunday, March 5th, downtown at Sam Houston Park, with registration starting at noon. More information and registration are available at aidshelp.org. This is KPFT Houston.
Blood. It's all red, but it's not all the same. That's why Remington College Greens Point campus is holding a Three Lives blood drive on Thursday, February 23rd. From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Remington College created the Three Lives campaign to recruit new minority blood donors and raise awareness of blood disorders. Minority donors, particularly African American donors, are in high demand because they provide blood with unique antigens that are vital for patients with sickle cell disease and other blood disorders. While the focus of Three Lives is to increase the number of minority blood donors, everyone is encouraged to give blood at this event. Donors must be 17 years of age or older.